This is Marketplace Tech Report for Monday, September 27th, 2010. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. There are 3 days left before voting ends for the GE Ecomagination Challenge. For this contest, GE is fishing for great new ideas about next-gen power. And Scott Broussard thinks he has one. There are 25,000 square miles of highways, parking lots, and pavement in the U.S., and Scott wants to turn them all into solar panels. He thinks a system like that could produce 3 times the electricity the nation needs. Scott's joining us on the phone from Idaho. So, Scott, how would this work? How do you make a roadway into a solar panel?
You know, my wife's idea. We've known each other since we were little kids. Her mom used to babysit me. And back then, my favorite toy was a slot car track, little electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this brainstorm of a six-year-old, I decided if we could make real roads electric, then kids could drive. But that kind of stuck with me my entire life for some reason. Years later, Julie and I were married. We're living up North Idaho now. And then a few years ago when, you know, phrases like global warming and climate crisis started showing up in the news regularly, one day Julie turned to me in the garden. She says, couldn't you make your electric roads out of solar panels and fix this mess? And at first I said, no, you can't even step on a solar panel. They're too fragile, let alone drive on them. But we started batting this idea back and forth. If you think of like the black box in an airliner, that's a structurally engineered case that protects sensitive electronics through the worst of airplane disasters. So we decided if we could build a structurally engineered case to protect solar cells from an 18-wheeler, then we can put anything we want in there. So we contacted the number one and two materials research labs in the nation. That was Penn State University and the University of Dayton. And when I gave them the specs for what this glass would have to hold up to, none of the glass guys even blinked an eye. Like, yeah, we can do that.
How difficult would it be to repair? And, you know, if one panel went out on I-80, would it be like the old wiring of a Christmas tree light? Would all of I-80 go dark?
No. We're using right now what we call microinverters, which makes every panel work independently from each other. So if I park a car on one, it doesn't take out the parking lot. It just takes out the one it's parked on.
Any plan to allow electric cars to charge?
Yeah. That's one of the big features of it is, for instance, if we do parking lots, you'll be able to pull up to a hitching post, for instance, and plug your EV in. We're also looking into mutual induction so that it'll actually charge while you're driving down the road. And if you think about that, this is a cool scenario. Let's say one major fast food chain decides to retrofit their parking lots. Just for instance, say McDonald's does it. If they were to retrofit all their parking lots across the country, if all I have to do is look for the golden arches, and I challenge you to find any stretch of American highway more than 100 miles that doesn't have a McDonald's, so I can now drive to Florida in my EV with my family and just pull over and recharge. If McDonald's does that, then they're going to start a whole new clientele, a new group of people, the green people, if you will. Burger King, KFC, Taco Bell, the rest of them are going to see the writing on the wall. They've got to keep up, so they redo their parking lots. And what's happening is the EV becomes practical now. It doesn't have that limitation or range anymore.
Yeah, you've solved the chicken and the egg problem.
Yeah, so people can start trading in their internal combustion engines for EVs. So two things are happening. Businesses are going off of coal. Drivers are going off of oil. It could be the beginning of the end to our dependency on fossil fuels.
Scott says it would cost about $10,000 to build one 12-by-12-foot panel. It sounds steep, but each panel could produce enough electricity to pay for itself in just over 20 years. Voting in GE's Ecomagination contest ends Thursday. To hear more of my conversation with Scott, check out marketplacetech.org. Other stories we're following at marketplacetech.org. Coming soon, Netflix may offer a cheaper, streaming-only subscription in the U.S. No envelopes, postage, or waiting, but fewer titles. Netflix launched a similar service in Canada this month. And a study published in the American Journal of Public Health suggests texting and talking while driving is the fastest-growing cause of highway deaths. Researchers found since 2005, distracted driving deaths rose by 28%. Product designer Billy May has come up with a phone you definitely should not use while you're driving. It's called the Mozilla Seabird.
The idea is to use projectors to drive keyboards and trackpads on sort of a flat surface you might have at your desk or on the go or on the mobile. If you sit down at a Starbucks cafe somewhere, you need a very small area that you could use a full 10-finger keyboard interface.
You won't be able to buy the Seabird anytime soon or ever. But if May had his way, this is a lot like what your next phone might look like. On your phone, on your laptop, you can find us at marketplacetech.org. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. This is Marketplace Tech Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.